FM's Morning Focus.
Brought to you by Shannon Heritage. At Craig and Owen, be amazed at what life was like over 1,000 years ago. Shannon Heritage, bringing our history closer to you.
The listeners have been ringing in telling us that they have reported sighting of swallows around the Banner County. And we've also had a call from Killaloe on Monday, and indeed one from West Clare in the Ballinacallie this morning, South West Clare this morning, saying the cuckoo was heard. And of course, as we know, the return of the swallows from Africa is generally believed to be a sign that summer is on the way. Swallows only come back when the field is going to be warm enough for them to find plentiful supply of food. And swallows are also a protected species, you have to remember, so it's illegal to remove their nests, even if they decide to make one on the shed or on the side of your house. I'm joined in studio this morning from Birdwatch Ireland in Clare by Tom Lynch. Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Good to talk to you. We're getting lots of texts in relation to the swallows and the cuckoos in particular. Is that surprising with that time of year, do you think?
No, it's the time of year for it, I suppose. The rhyme goes, the cuckoo comes in April, sings a song in May, middle of June, changes its tune in July, it flies away. Now the cuckoo also sings a song in April when it arrives, because trying to attract a female and so on, and trying to establish territory. So there have been reports. Our first report was on the 11th of April, a cuckoo in Clare Castle by Brian Finnegan and Sheila Yargon, who does Cool Kind here.
Oh, very good.
Yes. And that was over a week ago. Funny enough, the swallows, we have three different species of swallow. The first that come are sand martins. They come in March. And with the first report of those was again in Clare Castle by Paddy Cullinan on the 11th of March. Now, they come in earlier. The sand martin, from its name, they nest in sandy banks and mm-hmm. sandy cliffs and so on. They burrow a nest, tunnel out a nest. They're a little bit smaller than the swallow, a little bit browner. Then, after those, as we come into April around now and from now on, the swallows and the house martins start to come in. Now, the swallows and the house martins nest much closer to us. The swallows nest indoor and like to nest on a ledge or on a shelf inside, in a shed inside, in an old house inside, in an outhouse farm, outhouse or whatever. The house martins are the ones that nest up at the apex, at the eave yes. of the houses. They're this little nest of mud. They stick on to the underneath the eaves of houses, and some people regard it as an honour that they have chosen their house. Other people give out about the droppings, but it's easy yeah. to deal with it. A little bit of plastic on the ground or something like that would
of course they're protected as well, as I was saying.
They are protected, and it's wrong to hose them down. Some people used to do that. Yeah. Their numbers are you'll know the house martin from the swallow. I suppose the big giveaway is it has a neat white little rump when it flies away from you. And the swallows, especially the earlier swallows that come, are the males, and they have very long streamers. You see them sitting up on the wires
yes.
or even flying around. They have a very, very long tailed streamers that the house martins wouldn't have. And the house martins as well have a sort of a chirp, throaty sort of a sound when they fly around in circles around. Really, actually saw some of them down in Abbey Street Car Park this morning.
Already
a house martin. There'd be less house martins than swallows. Swallows would be more plentiful. We'd probably have mm-hmm. twice, three times, four times as many swallows in places than we would have house martins. But the three species are there, the sand martin.
And where are they all coming from?
Well, the swallow is coming from furthest west, coming right down from South Africa. Our swallows go right down to the tip of South Africa and different parts of South Africa. The house martins and the sand martins come from just south of the Sahara, the Sahel region. They're fairly yeah. sure of that. House martins, they're not 100% sure where they spend the winter, but they think it's over the Congolese jungle rainforest type area. But the recoveries of ringing and so on, rings on house martins, has been very little. But we do know they come from Africa and they go back. Now, all three, I suppose, in a way, are our birds because they're born here.
Yes.
And then they take off with them in the autumn and winter for Africa, naturally for food. They wouldn't survive here in the winter because due to lack of insect. But it's a pure sign of spring and summer when you see them. And we have another one to come, which is the very last to come. It looks very like the swallows, not related to swallows, but very much a town bird, the swift.
Yes.
Very much gone away down the numbers, but you will see them around the urban areas. Very dark bird, very black. Like a black boomerang, flies very, very quickly, and it nests up in little cracks and crevices up in tall old buildings, like old central town buildings, like banks and courthouses and cathedrals and things like that, or churches. And they probably notice going through the town during some of them, they make the screaming sort of a sound, especially the young when they're chasing after the parents looking for food, and they're screaming a little bit like our own young.
And the cuckoos, Tom, then, where would
the
they come from?
The cuckoos, again, come from the that Sahel region in Africa.
Yes.
And funny, the juvenile cuckoo will make its way there, even though its parents have long gone ahead of it. The cuckoo, when they come, the female... In Ireland, mostly lay their eggs in a meadowpipit's nest. So the meadowpipits and the surrounding birds will help to raise the young cuckoo. The parents will hightail back to Africa in probably end of June, July.
Yeah.
The young cuckoo will take off at the end of July, August, and will find its way back.
Amazing.
It's amazing that with no guidance, no one to show it where to go, we'll find its way back. They have a good bit of information on those in the last number of years because they've had little satellite tagging devices on them. So they've found that, in actual fact, the way they go back to Africa is totally different to the route they chose when they come here. They've done a good bit of tracking in Britain particularly. And... it's interesting, but they spend the winter around there. Numbers, I suppose, of all the species has gone down, partly maybe because of what's happening, we'll say, here with farming practices and climate change, but also what happens in the winter regions with, you know, kind of droughts and you kind of, and along the way as well, then you have problems with trapping and shooting in places like Malta. It's a big where a lot of our migrant birds that come to Ireland to Britain get shot and get trapped, and then they also get trapped for food, which is probably more understandable than the other.
Okay.
Than the other.
Presumably, we'll have a lot more other birds coming from different parts. I was out driving yesterday down around Fenlow Lake, and I spotted a group about six or eight. Unusual to me. I googled it afterwards. They were very obviously grey lag geese. Are they uncommon? I hadn't seen them before, so I was curious.
We have wintering grey lag geese that come to us from further north, and they probably may go back. We also have a flock of kind of grey lag geese that spend the year around here. They move around
between
the residents.
Okay.
Some of them are feral, some of them are genuine grey lag geese. They mix together. There's a bit of crossbreeding going on there, but you see them from time to time in different lakes, Finlaw Lake, up in Ballyalla, further north. I think last year there was a bit of confusion. Some of them landed on the road or in a channel beside the road up on the waterway, going from one lake to another. They saw a pond of water and they decided to pop into it, and it caused a bit of...
So they're not as uncommon as I thought they were.
I just hadn't seen
them before.
They are the we'll say the parent bird of most of the farmyard geese. Mostly grey lag geese or geese that have been crossed with those or whatever, you know. So they're actually quite
common.
They've been seen around from time to time, you know. And
like that, so. I even took a picture. I was going to send it to John Murphy, but I was convinced.
Well, you see, you can have the genuine wild ones, and they tend to keep apart from the ones that are around all the time. The ones that are around... most of the year, well, they kind of get used to people and they come closer. The wilder, we noticed there now, there was 9 or 10 in Ballyalla through the winter, and they were staying on their own, away, more distant than the other ones that are...
Yeah. Well, maybe if I've passed Fenlow more often, I probably would have seen them. But yesterday, they were noisy as well.
They could actually be on their way north, you know. Yeah. Like the Brinkies, for example, now on the coast, they're on their way. They're moving north all the time. So a huge flock in Tralee, the base down Tralee, getting ready to go north, and you'll notice them up along the coast here, up North Clare and out in Ballyvaughan, that type of area, and they're going to move north, and they actually go a huge journey up into Arctic Canada, Baffin Island, I think, and which is a big, big long trip. Why they don't pop down to some part of the United States and do, but obviously that's the migration route they've done for centuries and centuries, so that's not going to change.
Very good. On the swallow again, Tom, we had, as I said, calls from Killaloe and Ballinacalli and Mullock now, I'm told, as well. I think you have a poem about... I might come to that in a moment. But actually, a question after coming in here in relation to a different bird altogether. A listener from Ennis has two magpies every morning smashing into her patio door. They were missing for a couple of months. Probably had headaches. But they're back now and would frighten the daylights out of you. She tried everything to get rid of them, including a fake cat. Well, that's fairly ingenious, fair play to you. The birds are waking them every day.
They're probably picking insects or spiders or something up from somewhere around the edges of the window frames or something like that. I've often seen magpies do that. Or else, but would be unusual for magpies, they'd be attacking their own reflection. You know, that could be as well. A cutout maybe of a bird of prey, or you can buy them in the shops and stick it
on
the patio. Might deter them. Magpies are particularly cute, and they're the one species of bird that will actually search for other birds' nests to take the eggs and the chicks. Whereas hooded crows and so on will do the same, but they won't actually search. If they drop across the other bird's nest, they'll take what's in it. But the magpie will go along the hedge and actually search and search and search if it sees birds around to see where the nests are. So they're quite clever, and I would imagine with that listener is probably there's probably some food source.
Insects or something.
Insects maybe gathering at the edge of the patio or something like that.
So not suggesting your patio is dirty, but maybe brush it down to be on the safe side.
Yeah, well, you see, you can have insects this time of the year. They may rest on it at night time. The magpies will see them, spiders particularly, things like that, you know. And they're fairly plentiful. Like, I mean, no matter how many times you dust down the patio or whatever, you'll find that there's insects.
Maybe a stencil of a bird of prey.
It should help. Might keep them away. You know, they might deter them. But it's that magpies are difficult to. They're that kind of a bird that if they.
But I can imagine the fright you'd get if you're having your cornflakes.
Oh, such in the air if you're in sleep and so on. You hear this banging and clattering going on, and they'll be up. They'll be up at dawn. You know, when a lot of people would be turning over, getting another hour sleep, and you'll have these magpies banging on the patio or banging on the window.
Listener, maybe the fake cat didn't work for you. Maybe the stencil of a bird of prey on your patio would that be an ongoing thing? Would that be year round? Magpies are on all the time,
They're around, but generally they move on. Maybe their food source moves on too, you know, so they'll move on to something else. They'll be richer picking somewhere else, and birds like magpies, a lot of birds, they go through phases. A robin, for example, will often attack a window, which is usually because there's something red inside it.
Yes.
The robin can't tolerate something red in its territory, even if you put out a fake, you know, the Christmas tree robins.
Yeah.
If you put a robin on a bush, it will actually attack even though it probably knows it's not another bird, but it's just the redness. It just can't bear in its territory. So if you have a robin attacking your window, maybe look, see is there something red inside, something red or orange inside the window.
And if your walls are red, just close your curtains.
Well, they probably wouldn't worry too much about a wall. It would be something smaller, red dots, you know, that distract them.
Very good, Tom. As we are going to see probably a lot of swallows in the coming weeks, you have
a little poem by Ted Hughes, famous poet. It's... A swallow has slipped through a fracture in the snow sheet, which is still our sky. She flicks past ahead of her name, twinkling away out over the lake, reaching this way and that way with her scissors, snipping midges trout are still too numb and sunken to stir for. Sahara clay ovens at mirage heat laced her blues, and still she is hot. She wearied of snatching clegs off the logs of buffaloes and of lassoing the fruit flags of gazelles. They told her the north was one giant snowball rolling south. She did not believe them. So she exchanged the starry chart of Columbus for a beggar's bowl of mud. Setting her compass tremor tail needles, she harpooned a wind that wallowed in the ocean, working her barbs deeper through that twisting mass she came. Did she close her eyes and trust in God? No, she saw lighthouses streaming in chaos like sparks from a chimney. She had fixed her instruments on home, and now suddenly, into a blanched tree stillness, a silence of celandines, a fringing and stupor of frost, she bursts weightless to anchor on eggs, frail as frost.
Very good. Tom, thank you very much indeed. We'll be seeing a lot more. And thanks for everyone's comments. Someone said cuckoo in Moy as well. So all
We had actually a report from Sean Keane in Cree yesterday evening as well that he had a cuckoo. So that from now on, expect that the Burn is a big stronghold for of the course. Cuckoos as well. So up along that.
Very good, Tom. Thank you so much indeed. Tom Lynch from Birdwatch Ireland, based here in County Clare.
Clare FM's Morning Focus, the voice of the Banner County.